going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we will get you all caught up on all of the latest everythings, all the latest news, rumors. There's been one very small trade that has happened that I'm just waiting to try to understand. Like, is this a... is part of a bigger deal? Like, what's happening? It was like fifth and sixth round picks getting swapped between the Texans and Browns. So we'll see if there's anything more that comes of that. But we will get to all of that in the 7 o'clock hour. The way we're going to spend the 6 o'clock hour is in the Take Command War Room. Logan Paulson and I did an exercise that was inspired by something Adam Peters said. I explained it in the segment here, so I'm not going to do too much extra explaining off the top. But these are the kinds of things that have already happened to get set for tonight. Want this player or this player, if that's the choice on the board. That's the exercise, and we're gonna do this in two parts, including one of the biggest debates coming in the back half of the hour. But let's get things going. Take Command War Room style here on The Hoffman Show.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Take Command Podcast. Craig Hoffman here, Logan Paulson there, and it is our last pre-draft podcast, Logan Paulson. It feels like, maybe because the season was longer this year, but it feels like this draft process was short. Like, I kind of can't believe that we're here.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it felt crazy short to me. Like, you know, obviously we had the championship game, and then right to the Senior Bowl, right to the Combine 2 weeks. I mean, it just was like... ripping down the line. So it's definitely moving along real quick, and here we are. And in some ways it's good, because it's the more we talk about it, the more information we digest, like I feel like the less I know. So Let's get to the day and let's talk about the pick, and then, you know, let's talk about the new Commanders and what they mean when they're on the team. So,
and then let's get into the offseason program, because it's right around the corner. The guy's actually in the building this week, and then obviously the rookies will join them here in the next couple of weeks. But I agree with you that the closer we get, the more we get, especially with this class, because there's so much disagreement and there's so little separation. There are guys that I've seen mock to Washington in the last 3 days that I haven't seen the entire cycle. And I'm like, wait, that guy could fall. It's crazy. Or like, you know, the Athletic Football Show is doing this kind of rolling mock draft that they've done. They're on the clock series, and they had 4 or 5 options for Washington. And I was like, if that's what's on the clock, heck yeah. So we're going to do a mock draft later on in the show. But I actually wanted to start, Logan. This is an exercise inspired by none other than Adam Peters himself. Adam Peters, on top of being the general manager of the Washington Commanders, is now apparently a producer of Take Command. Because there is... He mentioned yesterday an exercise that he and his staff do leading in. And I actually want to put you through this exercise. First, here was Peters alongside Lance Newmark yesterday at the podium discussing one of the ways that they're preparing for Thursday night.
There's guys that we know that aren't going to be there. So it wouldn't be, if they were there, yeah, we'd take them, but we're fairly certain they're not going to be there. But there is a group of, I don't know, this draft is interesting just because very little certainty after, you know, the first 10 picks or so of who's going to go where and why and what's going to happen and all that. So we have to be ready for a lot of different guys to fall to us or to not fall to us. And so we have done that where we've done an exercise where we just ranked, you know, this group of guys, however many it is. It could be 10, it could be 5, it could be 20 of, okay, will they be there? All right, and if these guys are there, should we stay and pick? Or should we trade down? Should we trade up to go get one? So really challenged ourselves to do that before we fell on the clock. That way we'd be able to make a decision pretty quickly.
And that's great process, right? You want to have those decisions made. You want to understand these are our guys that we want. Or like, hey, we got this group of 5 that we're really happy about. We got an offer to go down 3. Let's take this trade down, and we know that we'll get one of these guys, even if it's not the one we necessarily take if we stick and pick. So I want to put you through this exercise, Logan, but first, your thoughts on the exercise.
Yeah, so I think the exercise is great. You know, I think it's awesome that you would do this because I've always been amazed when people, I know most teams like in Dallas, for example, they want the star up on the TV for as long as possible. So they hold the pick and then they call in last minute and get it in. But there are teams that you can tell are like frantically trying to make a decision. I feel like you should have done this earlier in the week. Like if these two guys are on the board, we've talked about this, not in the heat of the 10 minutes we have to make the pick, but we talked about it, you know, on Tuesday last week or Wednesday last week. We've got everybody's input on the pick. Everyone feels good about it. There's as much of a consensus as we can find. So first off, that's great. And I think that's exactly how you should do it. I'm surprised that not every team does it this way. If you know, obviously they do it in San Francisco because I'm sure that's where Adam brought it. And I'm sure he's brought it from other places they've done it. And I'm sure teams do an iteration of this. But the fact that, like, you know, other staffs we've covered, like, you can tell that they're trying to make the pick in the moment. And that just seems like bad process. The other thing that I think is interesting is he said there's 10
real quick,
guys.
Also, there's noted times that the owner used to just come in and make the pick and the process got thrown out the window. But yeah. Good thing we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing I thought was interesting was he said there's 10 guys that we know that aren't going to be there, which is, to me, a bigger number than I would have thought. And he kind of said, oh, 5, maybe it's whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, who? And that's the other interesting thing about this is, are they doing their own kind of investigative work on the teams? Like, do they kind of have an idea of those top 10 boards? And if I'm a team, you know, that is picking in the top 10 and the Commanders call, like, do I feel comfortable kind of saying we're leaning this direction? Maybe. So it's interesting to hear him kind of throw that number out, and it might have just been kind of a random number, but I do think that's also interesting too. Because in terms of top talent, like, I don't know if I'd go farther than 5, but maybe.
Yeah,
so
that number is a lot closer to 5 than it is to 10. I had that thought too, and it's why you have to have good friendships in the league. You know, we talk about sometimes, oh, you're not trying to win every trade, win every negotiation with an agent. Like, certainly you want to get what you want, but you're not trying to squeeze them for every single dollar or being impossible to deal with. When your name pops up on the phone, you don't want to be someone who they go, oh God, Adam's calling again, right? Like, you want to be, oh, Adam's calling. Let's see what Adam wants. Like, you want those good relationships because that helps you get the information and you can trust the people, they can trust you, and you give a little bit, you get a little bit, and it helps everybody. And I had that thought too, because if you had asked me, last Friday, Will Johnson, Mason Graham, like, are those guys top 10 picks? I've been like, locks. Johnson's falling down boards. Like, that foot injury is clearly scaring people. The lack of testing data, it makes the evaluation incomplete. Peter Schrager on ESPN this morning is reporting that he put out a last minute mock draft, and he thinks Mason Graham might fall out of the top 10, where he's been mocked at 5 nonstop, relentlessly throughout the entire process. But that's the thing, is like, if everybody mocks him at 5 and then the Jags decide to twerve and take Ashton Jeanty or Tet McMillan, how far does he fall? Like, we don't know because we've never even given that a thought. So it is a really fun and really, I think, interesting process, which is why I pulled out an old school sheet of paper, scrolled through some top lists, and I wrote down about 20 names, Logan. And basically, we're gonna play Survivor NFL Draft Edition. I'm going to give you 2 names. You tell me, and this is, by the way, for the Commanders. So you are now on the clock in the Washington War Room. And, or, you know, we're going through this exercise the day before. That way, when we're in the actual war room, Adam can look at a pre-made list and be like, we already had this discussion. So we are helping Adam Peters out, allegedly. I'm going to give you two names. Winner stays on. And we'll go through these 20 names. Okay. So you ready?
Yep. Ready as I'm going to be.
All right. Well, correct, because the recording light is going. All right, first up, I'm gonna give you two edges here. First one, one of the guys with one of the absolute coolest stories in the draft, like the Blind Side movie, kind of happened to him, but hopefully it doesn't end in lawsuits and terribleness 10 years later. Nick Skorton, Texas A&M edge, also one of the most controversial players in this draft, football character wise James Pierce, edge out of Tennessee. Those are your two players that are on the board. Which direction are you going for the Commanders?
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, with James Pierce Jr., there's obviously more athletic buzz around that player. You know, everyone talks about the 40-yard dash, the 4.47, the great 10-yard split, the great 2023. And I think that's all 100% valid. And I think when you see the athletic upside of a player like that, a lot of people, a lot of fans, they become infatuated. But for me, I think Nick Skorton is a Commander. And I felt that way from the second I watched the first game. I just was like, this dude, I had to do a breakdown for the Command Center show. We're like banking stuff for draft night. And I just was reviewing some of the clips and I was like, this dude plays like an absolute lunatic. And I want the guy that has the great leadership, the great football character, the guy that plays with the great physical toughness and courage, the guy who's a good pass rusher in his own right, and the guy who gives you some flexibility in the front. So, like, I don't know, like there was a play against Texas where the tight end comes across on a slice block and tries to cut his legs out. He puts his face on that dude. The guy buckles under the force of the collision. He dives over the player, tackles the running back by the leg, and he's just like a rabid dog. And I was like, that to me is what, you know, Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, these guys that have done it, that are the character, the backbone of this team. So do you lose a little bit maybe of ceiling? Absolutely. But in terms of like when you cut the tape on, like there's something special about him. And then the other thing about him that I think is good is he has that great physical toughness, but he had 11 sacks in 23 when he was at Purdue with that wide line, get after the quarterback type of stuff. And he also has the ability to kind of do some different things. And I think when you watch his drill work at the combine, like, he looks the part, man. He looks like a first round draft pick. And so I know that may not get a lot of fans excited. And I think James Pierce Jr. is a tremendous athlete. And when it shows up on film, like the twitch, the burst, the pursuit to the quarterback, it's there. But I don't know, man. There's just, and again, it could be, and all these are my own bias, but when I see Nick Skorton play football, I get excited.
Yeah. And Pierce, as we talked about on the last show, not only is there the off field/on field character questions about the football character, the competitor, all that kind of stuff. He's a high side rusher, which is not your favorite type of rusher.
Not my favorite type of rusher.
So there's some thing there. And I think the thing with Skorton too is like, we know that the sack production for the edges at A&M, we talked about with Shamar Stewart, you know, some of that is limited by the scheme, but the fact that he's a double digit sack guy in the Big Ten against that kind of offensive line at not exactly a football powerhouse in Purdue is probably worth mentioning. Team captain multiple times. All right, Nick Skorton, you advance. James Pierce is out. All right, next guy on my list, Nick Skorton or Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle from Oregon.
This is for the Commanders.
This is for the Commanders.
So Derek, you know, you've seen my big board, right? You've looked at it. We've talked about it a lot. Derek Harmon to me is like, as close to like knock the ball out of the park prospect in this class. Like, I don't want to compare him to Chris Jones, but like that's the comparison that's floating around the ecosystem of the draft community at the moment. I think that's very lofty and kind of unfair to the guy, but he plays the run well. He plays hard. He's a tremendous athlete. You know, he's 3:15. He ran a sub 5:40. Like, he's got 35 inch arms.
So quick.
Yeah. And he has the highest pressure rate in FBS for an interior player last year. So I love him. And so if they're both on the board, if you're just saying which player, right, it's Harmon. But I also think like, I don't know, it's Harmon for me based on player, but in terms of fit and need, you know, Nick Skorton fits and fills that need. But if I'm going best player available, I'm going to trust my gut, which is
this is why we have these discussions beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So you would say Harmon. So Harmon, the positive side is all the stuff you said.
This is where I'd call you in and be like, I'd call the defensive line coach in and be like, we got two guys, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell him anything about what I think. I just want to hear what he has to say. And if he comes in and says, oh, dude, Derek Harmon's an absolute dog, blue collar, blue chip, like that's the guy we want in this building. Like, we'll figure out the rotation, whatever. Great. if he's like, dude, Nick Skorton, that's my guy. I coached him wherever, and I know this guy, and we know that. And it, you know, like, yeah. So that's where this conversation would become a little bit more nuanced. But yeah.
So Harmon, incredibly quick, very high pressure rate, got a little Shamar Stewart to him. Not a great finisher.
Yeah.
And that is the downside. And my question would be, how does that fit with Johnny Newton? Because
yeah.
I do think that, like, in a lot of ways, Derek Harmon, Daron Payne, like, there's a lot of similarities there. The quickness, the ability to stack blocks, shed blocks. Like, it's funny watching Harmon a little bit. And, like, the way I actually wound up this morning watching Harmon and Tyler Booker back to back. And, watching those dudes, it was just kind of like guys running through some guys real quick. Yeah. And, like, the way they both just are able to boom. Like,
yeah.
Booker is an offensive lineman, is a pass blocker, stands dude straight up and does not budge. And when Derek Harmon wants to, as a run defender, he can just stand dudes up and be like, which way is a running back going? Get out of my way. I'm going to the running back.
It's
the
crazy.
Problem is sometimes he misses, which unfortunately I think sounds familiar sometimes to Commanders fans with some of the missed tackles that they had on the interior of the defensive line last year. But I'm not concerned about the fit with Daron Payne because I look at him as Daron Payne replacement. But how does Payne / Harmon fit with Newton in the long term? That is the fit I'm worried about. Answer that question for me, and then I'll make a call.
Yeah, and I think then it comes down to Kinlaw too. Like, Kinlaw's on a 3-year deal. Like, how does he fit with this rotation? So it is a complicated, it's a very dense room. I do think the idea of Harmon and Drazon together really work well for me from a mental standpoint, because I think one of the things Harmon does exceptionally well is he's great at setting picks and looping in as a pass rusher. They had to do it a lot. They kind of play this weird odd front kind of pseudo 3-3 at times, which is kind of sweeping the college football landscape. So I think he'd be great. I think he'd be a great complimentary piece to kind of free up Drazon. And again, like, the thing, the variable here that I don't know is Kinlaw. And that's where I get a little bit.
But
like,
I'm even then, like, Kinlaw is a 3-year that's really a 2-year. Like,
yeah.
I'm not that concerned. And I think that he's versatile enough that, you know, it's specifically with Drazon as the quicker, you know, but then again, Harmon's not undersized. He's like 6'5". He just carries it really well.
He's a huge guy. There are some limitations. He's got 1 year of production. He lost a bunch of weight coming from Michigan State to Oregon. Like, that's all true. But I think he just, like, the floor is so incredibly high. Yeah. But again, like, I this is where, like, having the conversation the week prior is helpful, because I can bring in the area scout. I can bring in the D-line coach. I can talk, maybe we make a few more phone calls, do a little bit more investigating, kind of push this over the edge. So, but I love both those players, basically.
All right. Yeah. We're going to go Harmon. So Nick Skorton, thank you for playing. You got one victory. You're off. This one's fun because these are also two tier two guys. I should have moved. Actually, you know what? I'm going to move this guy down. I'm not going to do that yet because otherwise I've realized I've made a mistake putting some of your tier two guys too early. Derek Harmon or Nick Emmanuori, safety out of South Carolina.
I'm still probably going Derek Harmon. I love Nick Emmanuori.
I think he's a great fit in Washington too. I'm psyched if Nick Emmanuori comes here as a Jeremy Chin replacement. But
I think the thing with Nick Emmanuori that I can't get past in my evaluation is I watched some really good football from him. I watched, like, a Texas A&M game where I was like, this dude looks the part. He's opening up. He's covering a ton of ground. He's communicating in the secondary. He's rallying well to the football. Then I watch the Alabama game, and it's like, dude's not on the field. He's missing tackles. Like, he's not an overly physical. He's a huge man. He's sick. He looks like an action figure, right?
Yeah.
He's 6'3". He's 220. He looks the part. Watch him go right now. Go watch his interception cut up on YouTube, and you will see one of the fastest, most explosive players I've ever seen. Like, he is a unique athlete. So, I like it. And the highs are good. But the fact that he's not this physical downhill tackler, is he true commander in that respect,
right?
You know, because of the tackling thing. So
especially again, if you're trying to replace Jeremy Chin.
Correct. And so, and I think there's other safeties later that are better tacklers, that are good physical football players. And again, so I'm going to go Derek Harmon here. I love Derek Harmon, obviously, as being exposed here. But if Nick Emmanuori was here, stoked. If Nick Skorton was here, stoked. Like, those are all good football players. I just personally have a higher evaluation on Derek Harmon.
Okay, it's another victory for Harmon. Put a little check mark there. All right, Derek Harmon or Donovan Ezeraku out of BC?
Oh, my goodness gracious. So Donovan Ezeraku is a tier 3 player for me.
Yes.
And Derek Harmon is a tier two player for me. But this is where it starts getting a little bit muddy, because I do really like Donovan Azuaraku. I think he's exactly what this defense needs. Just a guy you could plop out there like your Dante Fowler replacement. Like, I bring pass rush juice. I've got bend. I've got the ghost rush. I've got the cross chop. I've got the long arm. Like, when you watch him, you're just like, this dude's so polished as a pass rusher. Like, and I know he may not ever be like a 15 sack a year guy, but I think 8 to 11 sacks every year is well within a reasonable outcome for him. And I think about him working with Ryan. I think about him working with Coach Tapp. And I'm just like, ugh, that would be super sick. And he doesn't have to be this every down guy. Like, he could play the stand up edge in the bare front. He could come off the field in certain situations, and we could put Dietrich Wise out there, or whoever that guy ends up being. So I don't know, Craig, I'm going to kind of call you in here and be like, what do you think? Because I do think he's, even though he's a different tier player, that need, like, he's not that far off. And I think the need is so apparent. Like,
yeah,
and he fits it so acutely. It's like, why not?
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing searching for the other puzzle piece? This is the guy that fits. Like, you're searching around the table. God, I got this one. Oh, there's the piece. Plug it right in. So Donovan Azuaraku is up next. He's going to be hard to knock off the board. But I'm going to go right back to the edge bucket next. And the ultimate inverse of Donovan Azuaraku is, who am I going to say, Logan?
Shamar Stewart.
Yes.
So we're doing it right now?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
I thought we were taking a break for a second. Let me get some water or something. No,
we'll take a break. We'll come back next to Donovan Azuaraku versus Shamar Stewart on Take Command.
And we will let you hear that next in the Take Command Roar Room here on the Hoffman Show. But first, the latest from the world of women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa with customizable roasted or crispy chicken sandwiches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight. You're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, we continue. We haven't said that in a long time. Been a long time since we blew through the end of our show, but today is a special day. It's the first round of the NFL draft. Our coverage begins officially at 8 with Toby and Linnell. We take you up until then, and at 7 we will get you updated on the latest news, notes, what I'm hearing, what we're hearing here on the Team 980. But what you were just hearing before the break was the latest Take Command podcast, where Logan Paulson and I went war room style, one player versus another, in an effort to try to separate the cream of the crop. Who is it that we, if all these players are available for Washington 29, would be pulling for? We left off with Shamar Stewart and Donovan Ezeraku, which has perhaps been the biggest pre-draft debate amongst Commanders fans. So Logan's answer and my answer, kinda here and now.
Take Command Podcast. Craig Hoffman, Logan Paulson. We are making decisions so that we don't have to make them on draft day. And I've now put Logan in an absolute blender because we have two of the most mocked to the Commanders and two of the most interesting guys in this draft from just same position, same kind of idea, polar opposite profiles. Yeah. Opposite profiles. Donovan Ezeraku, Shamar Stewart. They're both somehow on the board for Washington at 29. We're going to have to take one of them. What are we doing, Coach?
This is a really hard one for me because, as a lot of fans have pointed out, they've messaged me and on my Instagram account, looking at my
big board. You love a Trace defensive end.
I love a Trace defensive end. I love him. I love him. I don't know. I can't quit him. Maybe it's because I'm a strength coach and I'm just like, there are only so many people on God's green earth that look and move and do this. We've talked about the scheme fit of Texas A&M, how he kind of played this tight five, this four eye. He is so incredibly raw, but then the highs are so good. Like, I forget, they're playing Arkansas and they're running a little zone read, and he explodes into the backfield, tackles both the quarterback and the running back at the same time. And I just like, there's like, nobody can do that. And the fact that it's at 29, I don't know, man, like the ceiling just seems so sky high for him. And I don't know, man, like Donovan Ezeraku is one of my favorite players in the entire draft, right? But the potential, the mystery box element of what Shamar Stewart could be is special. And then you watch him at the Senior Bowl, and he's such a tease, man. This guy comes out, his first rep in one-on-one, he just annihilates the offensive lineman. And you're like, there's not – like, you can't – he's too – I think he weighed in at the Senior Bowl at 275, and he's 6'5". And then, he weighs a little bit lighter, run his 40, but like – he looks like Myles Garrett. Like,
no, he is a Myles Garrett cutout. Like, and I don't say that. Well, I guess Myles Garrett.
Just doesn't get sacks.
Myles Garrett. Well, yeah, I know. The problem with the cutout is they don't move. They just stand there and they're just like in the background of stuff. The thing is with him is like, people say he doesn't have production. That's not true.
He doesn't have
sack production. He led them in pressures last year. He had 39 pressures in 12 games. That's not bad.
And the other thing about
him, he's got a tackle. He's got 26% missed tackle rates. That's atrocious.
That I love about him is he runs the football. Like, when the ball's out, like on an RPO, yes, like he's the first guy out of the stack. Like, he's making the tackle. And there's certain things that get Coach Paulson excited is when I see someone running out of the stack. So Nick Scorton, Shamar Stewart, they run out of the stack like absolute demons. And I love that, right? And so people like Logan, they should get sacks. I get it, right? I understand what we're talking about here. And also, like, the power profile, like, I think about Jared Verse last year. Not the same player, obviously, but the power. The safer pick here is Donovan Ezeraku. It's like, you know it. You love it. It's palpable. It's there, right? But the Shamar Stewart one is very, very enticing. Craig, I'm going to, like, flip the coin to you here and just be like, what are your thoughts? High-level thought. I gave you my thoughts. Gave the fans my thoughts. What are your thoughts here?
My high-level thoughts is I want to go to Dan Quinn. I want to go to Daryl Tapp, and I want to go maybe to Ken Norton and be like, hey,
can we make it happen?
Can you teach this guy how to tackle? Like, I know these are skills that we hopefully acquire in youth football, not at the NFL level, But we drill this stuff a lot. Like, we the Washington Commanders, as we have now become a part of the team in this exercise, we drill this stuff a lot. We talk about pursuit angles. We talk about how to wrap up. We talk about getting our feet underneath us. Like, Dan Quinn talks about this stuff in press conferences. Nevertheless, what he talks about in meeting rooms, nevertheless, what they do in the practice fields. And with all due respect to Donovan Ezeraku, if I can teach Shamar Stewart how to tackle, I might have an all-pro.
Yeah.
Like, he's got great motor. And I also, like, who's the better run player right now?
Yeah, Shamar Stewart.
And, like, I think of what we needed last year. We needed edges who could stop the run. And if you're telling me, I have the minimum, like, what's here would be my question back to you. What's Shamar Stewart's floor? Like, is he so dangerous from the missed tackle stuff that he could bust out of the league in 3-4 years?
Or if
at the very least, am I getting a really solid run player who's going to set a hard edge, who's going to run to the football? He might miss some tackles, but he's not going to miss as many, hopefully, moving forward. And even if I don't wind up ever getting sack production, he can't figure out how to finish on that end. I'm getting a guy who's going to generate pressure and be a solid run defender. Because if you tell me I'm getting that, and my upside is if I can teach him how to finish on sacks, like, what, he could also be an 8-11 sack guy, and maybe even better.
You know, like, what he feels like to me? You know, honestly, like, I've been thinking about this for the past couple of days. Like, he feels a little bit like Montez Sweat to me.
Yeah.
Like, as like,
that's kind of what, like, I was getting at.
That's like what he's going to be. Like, he's going to maybe take a year or two, but he's way more twitched up. Like, and I know people are going to say, well, like, Montez ran a faster 40. That is true. But dude had like a 40-inch vertical and had like almost an 11-foot broad jump. Like, he is explosive and he's powerful. Like, he's a unicorn. And so if I'm trying to keep my job, I go Donovan Ezeraku. If I'm trying to get at the back of the first round, guy with Pro Bowl upside, there's your guy.
Logan, if we turned the comments off this video, who would you take?
If I'm actually sitting in the seat, like, I'm sitting in the seat. If I'm Adam Peters, I'm probably taking Ezeraku. But if it's just like, I want the mystery box, like, I want, and again, like, this is his second year, like, take a shot. And this is where interviews, character, is super important. Let's go Shamar Stewart. Let's just do it. Let's make it happen.
Honestly, I'm going to push us to Stewart, even though I think we both, because I've said, like, Ezeraku is the guy that I really, really want there. So then if they go, I don't know. But, like, I think that the rest of the conversation here, for the rest of this exercise, for the purpose of a podcast, is more interesting if it's Stewart than it is Ezeraku. So for that purpose, that's going to be the tiebreaker. In some ways, that is us acknowledging we'd probably take Donovan Ezeraku. But for the rest of this exercise, we're taking Shamar Stewart. Okay. Talk about risky versus safe. Shamar Stewart or Tyler Booker?
Yeah, Tyler Booker, man. Like, but the thing to me about Tyler Booker is, like, there is risk associated with him. I know people want to say he's like a knockout. Like, go ahead.
It's almost like, risk is almost the wrong word, though. I know where his failings are. Like, I know where his shortcomings are. It's not even risk. It's like, there's downside to Tyler Booker. I don't even know that I call it risk.
Yeah, like, you know that he doesn't have great feet. Like, he gets a little overextended at times, but he's huge. He's a big dude. He got long arms, got huge hands, got vice grips. And I think about him on that offensive line. I had this thought yesterday. I was talking to you about it probably, maybe on Monday. And then I was just like, him at left guard, like, if he could do it, if he can do some of the pull stuff and you got to talk, and the field work stuff at the combine looked great, and you see him pull on tape, looks pretty good. Some of that GT stuff that they ran last year. It's like, think about the pocket depth and, like, the professionalism that he brings. Like, every single interview that I've heard people referring to him, he's like got the highest football character in the class. I'm probably staying with Shamar Stewart though. Like, I, you know what I mean? It just feels like that's the lottery ticket.
No, I agree. I think we go Stewart. I think I have questions about his ability to do the pulling stuff. Like, can he literally get out there but as a pass blocker, this dude might be the best pass blocking guard in this draft. And he's so solid. And you know, on some of the power stuff, like, he's okay. Some of the gap scheme stuff that's more straightforward, like on duo, like, you just get to go forward and envelop a human being. Cool. If we got to get him out on the edge, I got questions. All right. So Tyler Booker, we'd be happy to have you, but we're not going to take you. Mecca Igbuka, talk about this guy might be everyone's favorite prospect in this draft from like a character standpoint. If not Booker, it's Igbuka. Wide receiver, some level position of need there. What do you think about Igbuka versus Stewart?
Yeah, I mean, I like Igbuka a lot. Like, I like Tyler Booker a lot. I like Donovan Azaraku a lot. And I think if you're safe on the seat, if you're not safe on the seat, those are the picks you make. Because there's no doubt those guys, to me, are going to be just good, solid pros at a minimum with good upside, right? And the thing is, to me, is like receiver, everyone keeps throwing receiver out there. And you do want to get more athletic, more dynamic. And Igbuka, to me, is tough because I kind of am like, he plays, I think he's the best in the slot. But where's Deebo Samuel going to play? And Deebo does play outside. You watch the film from last year. He plays outside a little bit. But I don't think you want him living there necessarily. I think you want him to kind of be able to work in the slot. So Igbuka, because of the professionalism, maybe. I don't know. But yeah. I'm not wowed by his upside, I think.
I have a tough time with Igbuka because if you ask me who's a commander, like the character, all that kind of stuff, competitiveness.
The last three guys, right? They're 100% yeah. a commander, right?
Like 1,000%. Emeka Igbuka is everything you could. Like, he is a lot. He's getting a lot of comps to Terry because of the Ohio State, because Terry was kind of a guy that was stuck behind better players. Mm-hmm. And then Terry gets to be a number one in Washington. And it's like, oh my God. I don't think Igbuka has that kind of juice. And I think that Igbuka, like this offense, the thing that we want almost regardless of position is juice. So as I love that kid, I also have to tell myself, don't do it. I think it is where I'm kind of landing as we get near draft day on Igbuka. All right, Igbuka, no. You want some juice. My interest you in Omarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina.
Dude, man. The more I watch him, the more I think he's special. And the only reason I wouldn't take him in the first round, I think he's like a difference maker. Like, and I know people like, so for example, I talked to Jeremy, actually. Jeremy has him.
He's got him ahead of Jenty. Yeah.
He has him ahead of Jenty, which I don't know if I buy, but like, he's really good. He's got great contact balance. He can hit the home run. He catches the football well. Reminds me a little bit like Eddie George, kind of like with that power, the contact balance, like a guy that can wear you out. And he just fits the vision to me of what this offense is. Like, he kind of runs in the same offense now. Like, we got like stuff from the gun. We got stuff from the pistol. Like, he's used to those types of runs. He's done it for a long time. He carried the team last year. The only reason I wouldn't take him here, and this is just kind of a general thumb, this is a really deep, deep running back class. Really deep. And contract value. So, for example, you know, the highest paid running back right now is making like, what, $15 million a year?
Yeah.
The highest edge rusher is making 40.
Right.
Right. And so the fact that I can get a cost control, and maybe people say this shouldn't factor in, right? I think it 100% factors.
It has to. It's not the first thing, but it's got to factor in somewhere. Yeah.
And so, like, and if this wasn't a deep running back class and it was Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton, like, I'd probably take him here. But I'm very confident there are other players that can do something similar for us if we have to. And, you know, like, this is a tough one for me because I think Omarion Hampton's significantly like a better player right now, but it's literally just the contract value to me. And the difference between him and, you know, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, like, is it that extreme? Like, I do think there is a significant difference, but Caleb Johnson in this offense here is still going to be a plus upgrade, if that makes sense what I'm saying.
It does. It is why Stewart is almost more interesting than Azaraku in this conversation, though, because if I tell you you can get, let's see, it would be Stewart and Caleb Johnson at 29 and 61, or you can have Omarion Hampton and Femi Oladejo. Which duo do you want? Because Oladejo is also super rocked up, got a lot of twitch, got a lot of potential, but it's also a huge projection. And like, how different is that than Stewart? Like, when you're doing the projection game, like, it feels real risky. And so if I know that I'm getting at a position group where, I'm fine for 2025, but I have zero people on the roster for 2026, and I'm probably upgrading 2025 as is, like, If I wanted to be a pain in our butt and we weren't already, you know, 10 minutes deeper into this exercise than we planned on being, because we can't stop talking about football players. I would make a heavier argument for Marion Hampton, but I also get what you're saying. I think the contract value for running back versus edge is so significant that, and this is close enough that that's probably a good factor to push it in the edge direction.
Yeah. And that I did a mock draft the other day, and that's ultimately what it came down to, because I love Amari Hampton. I think he's a heck of a football player.
Yeah.
And he's lower on my big board simply because he's a running back. Like, he's the 29th player or 30th player. I don't remember exactly what it is, but this is a hard one for me to pass. But I just think dollars and cents here ultimately weigh out.
All right. I got two corners next. I'm going to go three wide here because I don't think you're going to take either of them. So you can have Shamar Stewart, Trey Amos, or Siobhan Revelle.
Ooh, I do love a Siobhan Revelle. I do like Trey Amos too. I think they're both really good.
And cornerback is, whoo, buddy.
Yeah, Revelle is a little bit more developmental, but I like the film. I like the traits. I know some people aren't as high on him, but I think he's got that like dog in him, you know. Yeah. And Trey Amos is kind of the flip of the coin. Like, he's a little bit lackadaisical at times, but he's played in multiple different systems. You know, he's transferred schools a bunch of times, learned a bunch of different defenses. He's got great ball skills for a man of his size. Like, he really tracks the football well. He's a little bit unrefined in certain situations, but I think about kind of what they value here, and he feels like that's something that they would value. Despite all that, you know, Shamar Stewart is a tier two, three player for me. Those other guys are tier four or five players for me. So I'm going to probably look in the direction of Shamar Stewart here. But I do think Trey Amos is one that I find really interesting for the Commanders. And I love Siobhan Revelle, and I would probably take him at 29 in a heartbeat. But I do think there is a developmental arc there that you have to be comfortable with. He's kind of, to me, the Shamar Stewart.
You would take Revelle over Amos if we took Stewart off here?
It depends. Like, this is the conversation. Go back to this same kind of point we've made before. Like, I want to talk with my defensive coordinator and my defensive backs coach about the one they want more. I think Revelle has more upside, but again, he is kind of the Shamar Stewart of this draft class for DBs, right? He's a little bit more of a projection, small school guy, only played three games last year, right? There is a little bit of, like, you know, we got to extrapolate what he's going to be, but he runs a 4.4. He's 6.2. He's got great length. He understands how to play man coverage really well. He tackles
incredible
well.
Story. Dane told us about, you know, this guy's working in an Amazon warehouse overnight shift and then going to a camp to get on the roster at ECU in the first place.
Yeah. But for example, if you're the Commanders, you say, I really want ball skills. Like, that's more important to me, then Trey Amos is the pick. And so that's where it kind of, it really is beauty in the eye of the beholder with these picks. I'd go Revelle here. Because I like him better, but between Revelle and Stewart, I'd probably go Stewart.
All right. Last three here. I had Josh Connerly written down, but I'm pretty sure you would go Stewart there. So I'm going to make this harder for you. Josh Simmons or Shamar Stewart.
Oh, man. So Josh Simmons, without knowing anything about the football character stuff, is the answer. The problem that I'm running into now is on all these, like The Athletic, ESPN, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, there seems to be whispers from all of those outlets. And again, like, it's silly season. People are trying to get people to fall. Like, he's the best tackle athletically in this class, like, best tackle. And so when I hear all these whispers about people falling down boards, there's character concerns, that makes me really nervous, right? Makes me really, really nervous. But I think he's like, to me, he's like, who's the guy that Minnesota drafted a couple years ago from Virginia Tech? Darrisaw? Is that his name?
Yeah, Christian Darrisaw.
Like, he's that kind of player. You know, like, he's like a franchise tackle. But if he's the patella injuries, weird, right? And the off-field character and stuff is surprising to me. But I'm hearing it enough spots now where I'm a little bit leery of it. So that's something that makes me a little bit nervous. But, dude, I do love Josh Simmons. Do love that football player quite a bit.
But for the Commanders, Stewart or Simmons, I think if there's character questions and position, like, I think people that are attaching tackle to the Commanders think that Brandon Coleman's a guard and don't believe that he's going to play tackle for Washington. And Washington is, like, if we're taking them at their word, Brandon Coleman's playing right tackle.
Well,
so,
this is what I'd say too, though, is like, I like Brandon Coleman. I think he did a really very serviceable job last year playing left. And I think the move to right is good, makes the offensive line better. But I do think the ceiling, at least on tape from Josh Simmons prior to the injury, is something that needs to be considered here. You know, like it's a very high ceiling. And again, the patella injury, like the medical stuff, that's stuff that we don't have access to or we're not privy to. But like patella injuries are gnarly. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
I don't know if you've rehabbed one. They're super gnarly to deal with. So he'll just be getting ready for training camp kind of when it's all said and done. Lots of red flags.
Too many questions.
Yeah, even though I love the player, like lots of questions about the other stuff.
Okay. Last two. Matthew Golden is a tier two player for you.
Dude.
The receiver out of Texas. If it's Matthew Golden or Shamar Stewart, who are you going with?
Probably go Matthew Golden here. Like,
okay.
There's a lot of questions about Shamar Stewart. We talked about his upside, but it's all projection. Like Matthew Golden is right now an NFL ready wide receiver who can play inside and outside. He ran a 4.29 at the combine. Doesn't show up at that on film all the time. 4.2. What is it? 4.3 something fast.
He ran 4.29. It was 4.29.
Yeah. He ran fast. And he has all this route running nuance. He's like so polished, right? He understands like when to burst the route, when to vary speeds. And so, yeah, I just think if he's available at this point, like I think he's the better football player. Now, he doesn't fit a need as acutely, but I think him paired with Terry McLaurin, paired with Deebo Samuel, like that's a really nice receiving room. And a guy who, again, he catches the football well. He tracks the football well. Like he just
does block
a
little bit too.
Yeah, he's a dog, man. I really like him a lot. I mean, he's a tier two player for me, right? So yeah, that's where I'd probably say Matthew Golden.
Here's the thing about Matthew Golden's 4.29 40 that doesn't show up on tape. His 10-yard split was a 1.47.
That's wild.
Is blazing fast. You never see 1.4 something. By the way, yeah, Igbuka ran a 1.50 10-yard split. So that's
fast.
That's good too. But what's the thing about those two guys in the route running? It's super smooth in and out of the cuts. They accelerate, but they also decelerate really well.
Yeah.
And that's like the reason Matthew Golden ran 4.29 is because he got out so fast. And that part does show up on tape. Like
the
releases are pretty good. So he might not long speed, like blaze past people. So if he gets a little bit of separation, he's not going to pull away in the back half of a 40, if you will. But most of football isn't played like that. Most of football is played in short areas. Can you get separation initially? Can you pull away from someone coming out of a cut? And that skill is something that Matthew Golden has. And that's why, I don't know, the spotty production scares me a little bit with him, especially considering the track record of receivers who do and don't have production in college. But I tend to think that he'll be okay. I'm really intrigued by Matthew Golden. I think teammates and stuff really love him too. So, all right, Matthew Golden. Last guy. We're going to assume that he's on our board because the off-field stuff is checked out. Mike Green. Edge out of Marshall.
Mike Green.
Green. Okay.
If the off-field stuff is checked out, Mike Green, like 100%. Like, dude, of the people that we just talked about, his film is the best. Like, is the best. He's fantastic to watch, and he plays hard. He can do multiple different things. Like, off-field stuff's got to check out. Like, that's a huge caveat for me. But
yeah, my only thing with Mike Green is if he's available at 29, I feel like the off-field stuff did not check out.
Yeah,
And that's kind of I kind of just feel like there's no scenario where Mike Green's available at 29 and it's good because the film is good enough that he should not get outside the top 20.
A great point. It's a great point, actually. Yeah.
Good so I want to throw him in there because if somehow he's there and, you know, for whatever reason, the Commanders are comfortable with the information, then they, you know, I don't want to say like, oh, we didn't talk about him. But I wanted to be able to have that comparison to Stewart and Ezeraku and Scorton and these other guys that we talked about. Yeah. But I do think it's worth saying that there's a very little chance that Mike Green gets to 29 and the Commanders are interested just because if he gets to 29, it means the off-field stuff probably didn't check out and other teams have passed on him. All right, now that we've done all the hard work, we're going to do a very fast mock draft with every single one of the Commanders' picks. No trades. We're just going to go for it next to wrap up our final pre-draft edition of Take Command. All right, if you want to check out that very quick mock draft, you can go to the Team 980's YouTube page or in...
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Take Command podcast feed. Luckily, our producer segments out the show, so you can just quickly listen to that if you want to. But if you're like, that sounds great, the Hoffman show's over. No, it's not. We're going until 8 o'clock tonight. So coming up next, we get to the absolute latest from Green Bay. All of the rumors, what everyone's hearing, some of the latest line movement in Vegas. Who's the favorite to go here? Which guy's not falling? Which guy is? We'll get you caught up on the latest things that we're hearing. I've had a couple conversations today as well with folks around the league, so I'll clue you in on some of that stuff. 7:30, we asked all of our colleagues here at the Team 980, who's your guy? Who do you want to see on the board for the Commanders and see them take at 29? We'll play those for you coming up as well as we lead you in to our live coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft starting at 8 here on the Team 980.